do for you and your family.
Come to VA.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. 120,000 miles of night drives, daily commutes, and who knows how many.
Are we there yet?
Through countless fixes, elbow grease, and a new radiator, you kept your ride alive. With eBay Motors, you have over 122 million parts to keep it running. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, they'll be the perfect fit every time. Plus, at these prices, well, we're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
A smooth, close Barbasol shave in the morning lifts your confidence. That rich, creamy lather will catapult you to greatness. Nothing can stop you today. Well, except that traffic jam. Barbasol, it's a can of can-do.
Brought to you by Navage. Don't let a cold, sinus infection, or allergies ruin your day. Breathe easier, sleep better, and feel healthier with Navage. Visit Navage.com, Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, or a store near you.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand. You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Israeli forces moving into Rafah for what it calls a precise operation. ABC's Selena Wang has more.
This does, of course, come as the Biden administration has been trying to pressure Netanyahu to delay a full-scale invasion of Rafah. Now, the White House says that what we've seen so far does not amount to that full-scale invasion in densely populated areas. What we're seeing so far is more targeted. They've been highly critical of Netanyahu, what he's done with the Rafah border crossing and halting aid shipments from getting through.
The White House says it's concerned about reports by Ukraine there was an assassination attempt on President Zelensky. That thwarted plot coming on the day Russia's President Vladimir Putin was reinstated for a fifth term. Stormy Daniels, the woman at the center of the hush money trial of Donald Trump, testifying today detailing her claim about a sexual encounter with Trump in 2006 and later a payment agreement to keep the alleged affair quiet ahead of the 2016 election. This is ABC News. In Moscow, the official swearing-in ceremony as Russia's president begins another six-year term.
He knows the drill. He's been here before. The inauguration ceremony for Vladimir Putin in the Grand Kremlin Palace. This one just a few months short of a quarter century as Russia's leader. With his hand on a copy of the Constitution, he begins another run as president. Already the longest-serving leader since Stalin, he's constitutionally eligible to run for yet another 6 years in 2030. Tom Rivers, ABC News at the Foreign Desk.
A new bridge between the U.S. and Canada, nearly connected, only about 200 feet now separate the two sides of the Gordie Howe Bridge, which will connect Detroit and Windsor, Ontario. It was set to be completed later this year, but the project experienced unprecedented disruptions from the COVID pandemic. It's set to open in late 2025. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
You give and you give. It's time to get with Straight Talk Wireless. You get a reliable 5G network and unlimited data and a Samsung Galaxy A14 included with the activation of a Silver Unlimited plan. Yeah! So you can give your janky phone to your kid. Yeah!
Switch to Straight Talk. Find us at Walmart and StraightTalk.com. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com. Requires in-store activation. Device offer ends 6/9/24. Taxes and fees apply.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go. Shortness of breath. Fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about five times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Tad Aylin. Non-protesting UW-Madison students meet with campus officials.
The Daily Cardinal first reported that students on the Madison campus met with Chancellor Jennifer Mnuchin and other members of the administration on Monday. In the meetings, students shared personal experiences of intimidation, harassment, and anti-Semitism they experienced from encampment protesters and outside agitators. While pro-Palestinian protesters have issued a set of demands, the non-protesting group has a set of requests, including defining and condemning anti-Semitism and allowing representatives of Jewish and Israeli students and unaligned groups in any negotiations. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
The protesters in those encampments say they will remain until demands are met. One of those demands is that the UW divest itself of Israeli-based investments. WISN-TV's Upfront Sunday, UW System President Jay Rothman said that was a non-starter.
The issues that are being protested are ones of foreign policy, not of university investment. So I just view that as a red herring.
Fight over Wisconsin's wolf management strategies continues as a lawsuit against the Department of Natural Resources is dismissed.
A Dane County judge on Monday threw out a challenge by the Great Lakes Wildlife Alliance that the Natural Resources Board failed to follow open meetings laws while penning the management plan. The group claimed board members improperly met with other advocacy groups outside of board meetings, even if no quorum was ever held together at once. Judge Stephen Elke rejected that claim, saying that ruling in favor of the alliance would invalidate most proceedings of any government committee if members couldn't get information on their own. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Rugged outside, comfort inside. Working outside all day, you want to be in control. And TYM Tractors puts you in control with the TYM Climate Control Cab. This cab is designed with your comfort in mind, with temperature controls, plenty of headroom, and noise reduction. Rugged comfort that makes tough jobs a little bit easier. Work smarter, not harder. But you can't buy a TYM tractor just anywhere. It's only sold at special authorized TYM dealers, like Synergy Cooperative, Highway 25 in Ridgeland.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Isolated evening storms, then mostly cloudy overnight, with lows in the upper 40s. A mixture of sunshine and clouds for tomorrow, but a couple of showers could pop up in the afternoon. High, low 70s. On Thursday, mostly cloudy, and again a slight shower chance, cooler with highs in the mid-60s. Barbecue season is back. Try Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce. GrandpasBBQShop.com. It's 67 right now.
10-12 last night, weighing 7 pounds, 12 ounces, and mom and the little boy doing great. We'll have to check in as the day goes on how Jesse's doing, but we think he's doing okay as well. John William, they'll call him Liam, welcome to the world, and congratulations to Jesse and his wife. Wonderful news for their family. Great to hear. All are doing well, and so his sleepless nights can now begin. All right, so glad you have joined us here on AOA. We have a busy program today. We're going to talk with Ethan Lane with National Cattlemen's Beef Association. We're going to talk with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley, and we'll talk with the President and CEO of the National Council of Farmer Cooperatives, Chuck Connor. We want to talk Farm Bill. We want to talk about ear tag rule, beef imports from Paraguay, talk about the GREET model for sustainable aviation fuel. We got lots of different things to talk about, but we're going to start it off today talking markets with Chris Robinson with Robinson Ag Marketing. Chris, thanks for joining us.
Hey, good morning. Thank you, sir.
All right. We've got new numbers out to be beginning of the week for planting progress and crop conditions. We know we have the issues in South America. Out of all that's going on right now, what's the biggest market driver in your opinion? What should we be watching most closely?
Well, hey, we are 50 cents off the lows in corn. We've had a $1.15 off the low rally in soybeans, $1.15 to $1.30 in the wheat. We are just getting after it. We are punishing the managed money who stayed short too long. And we've got a Friday USDA. So it's a good rally for producers, especially back in March, February, March. You were chewed on your fingernails. We know when corn was down at 422. This morning we hit 472. My math's good enough to know that's 50 cents. That's worth rewarding. It's the highest price we've had in 4 months. So if you need to make a cash sale, I think this is a time to start looking at that. New crop soybeans, a dollar off the low. We grow a 4 billion bushel crop. That means the American farmer just got a check for $4 billion, you know, on paper. So you got to do something to reward these rallies. I'm not saying that the top is in, but boy, it's an opportunity. And especially with us, you know, just so close to another USDA, we could have a silly repricing event after the USDA. It happened last time. We peaked before the USDA, and then we slid away. So it's a wake-up call. Get something done. Get something hedged. But it's a great opportunity.
Yeah, Friday could change everything. We don't know which way. But you think this is indeed a rally to sell into then?
Absolutely. I mean, this has been a difficult year. We got hammered from day one in January. We gapped lower in corn and beans, slid lower, caught a lot of people flat-footed. Now, it's not, we're not back to the January highs yet. There's still some work to be done. But when you get rallies like this, I'm a believer that you either need, if you need to make sales, make sales. If you don't, then you need to get a hedge on. If you buy a put option, you can do a put option now for a week, 2 weeks, a month. You don't have to go out and buy 300 days anymore like you did in the old days. So you can get a price floor that's going to cost you some money, but it lets you capture some of this revenue. And, you know, a dollar plus revenue in soybeans, that's worth doing something. 50 cents in corn, again, you know, that's worth, I think, spending, you know, a nickel or a dime to protect a chunk of that. And again, if you set a hedge, you're not capping it. I hope we go higher. What I don't want to do is be back down to where we were in February saying, well, you know, we missed another opportunity. So take advantage of it. Do a hedge.
What's driving this rally?
Well, two things. We've got a little bit of, you know, they can't really call it delayed planting yet because planting's going pretty well. And it delayed planting a little bit and a little bit behind what the expert guess was. You've got some weather issues in South America. It's too hot and dry in part of Brazil. It's too wet in Argentina. So it's kind of hammering their harvest. You've also had the South American farmer back off from making cash sales. They don't like what's going on with the currencies. So they're sitting on their hands again. So that makes our beans a little bit more attractive. And the biggest thing, though, I'd say is, you know, we just have weather uncertainty because, you know, May, June, this is where nobody knows what's going to happen. But the last thing is the managed money. They were short 1.2 billion bushels of corn. They were short 900 million bushels of soybeans. They were short a ton of wheat. And they have been buying, started with wheat. They've been buying wheat back hand over fist. And so their loss is the farmer's gain, and you want to take advantage of it.
So the question every time you get a rally going like this is, well, maybe I'll just kind of hang on to see if it'll go a little longer. Then you run that risk of losing it. But do you see some strength in this? Does this have legs?
Well, we'll know after Wednesday. I mean, after Friday. You know, and also, too, historically, everybody keeps asking me, is this 2012 or 2014? 2012, we bottomed out at the last day of May and then exploded with the weather market. If you look at 2014, you know, we peaked out in May and then slid lower for 5 months. The number one problem with this market that we've got is the overhang of supply. We have a lot of corn sitting out there. We've had, I'd say, tepid exports. Mexico has been buying corn from us, but we haven't seen a whole lot of people stepping up there. The Chinese have been a little bit better buyers as of late, but they've also been sitting on their hands. They've been buying more grain from South America. So it is a supply-demand issue, and I'm a believer that in markets like this, when you get recovery rallies, this is what this is, 50 cents off the bottom in corn, $1.10, $1.15 in beans, you need to reward those. And again, making a sale or setting a hedge, you're not calling a top. But what you don't want to do is be here. And honestly, if anybody knew where we're going to be next week, next month, first of all, they wouldn't be telling me. And second of all, you know, they wouldn't even be farming. They would just be trading. So you got to take what they give you. Defense wins, just like in football. Your best option, I believe, right now is getting some sort of substitute sale on paper. It's exactly what a put option is. Once you buy the put, you don't have to make margin calls. You could buy a put here at corn. Corn could go to $1 million, and you wouldn't have to make any margin calls. So it's a great tool for producers especially if you want to make a sale, but you're scared to.
All right, Chris. Good to talk about a market going up for a change. Good to talk with you. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir. Have a great day.
You Bye-bye. Too. Take care. Chris Robinson with Robinson Ag Marketing here on AOA, powered by Cinex. You know, every minute matters on the construction site. Bulk diesel fuel storage can boost productivity and maximize ROI. Learn more at your local Cinex location or visit Cinex.com for more information. Well, we have more information coming up for you next here on AOA. We're going to talk with Ethan Lane with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. We're going to talk about the USDA ear tag rule. We'll talk about beef imports from Paraguay. Lots to talk about with Ethan Lane. That's coming up next. Stay with us. You're listening to AOA.
On the May episode of the Monthly Grind with the National Corn Growers Association, we talk about the relationship between the corn and pet food industries with Michael Granche and Chad Epler from NCGA.
Our kind of strategy when we're approaching the pet food industry is kind of a two-pronged approach, which is first, corn is an ingredient, which could be food, can be treats. The second fold to this is what we like to call beyond the bowl applications. And so that's things like bio-preferred packaging solutions that maybe are utilizing cornstarch or maybe technologies for pet products.
We know that corn is, you know, used for animal feed, ethanol, things like that. But when you think about pet food, a lot of people have pets. A lot of people have dogs. And sometimes we get lost in the fact that, my gosh, this stuff that we grow here, this high quality, sustainable corn that we grow here, can be used in what's good for our dogs at home. And that's really important to certainly my wife and I, but to a lot of people.
Join us the first Wednesday of the month on AOA for the Monthly Grind and learn more at ncga.com.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back. Mike Adams sitting in today and this week for the proud new papa. That's right. Jesse has his new son, John William. They're going to call him Liam. He arrived last night weighing 7 pounds, 12 ounces. Mom and baby boy doing well. And our congratulations to the whole family. So Jesse will be back with you next week. You'll have to come back to work to get some rest, probably. Probably not going to get a lot of sleep this week, so we wish them all the best. Good to be with you here on AOA, and good to have with us now Ethan Lane Vice President, Government Affairs for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Ethan, good to talk with you again. How are you?
Great to be with you, Mike.
Just I'm like old well. Times. Yeah, good.
It is. No, I always like hearing your voice on this thing.
Thank you very much. No shortage of issues. Let's get right into some of them. Let's talk about the USDA ear tag rule, the EID ear tags, and there are some that don't like this proposal. I believe you are in favor of it. Tell us why.
Well, so, you know, the switch to electronic ID or RFID, as it's been called for years, is definitely something that has polarized the cattle industry for a long time, more than a decade, 20 years at this point. And it really is, that discussion within the industry of what is the appropriate amount of government involvement in the animal disease traceability system. What we're looking at in this rulemaking that just was finalized in the last few weeks is basically an update in the technology used to implement the 2013 Animal Disease Traceability Rule, which established that sexually intact breeding animals over 18 months moving interstate, as well as rodeo cattle, dairy cattle, and bison, must have ID to cross state lines and move. That has been traditionally a bright tag or metal ear tag. This rule basically says that at the end of 6 months, which is about November 1st of this year, the official form of ID for those cattle moving interstate is going to have to be visually and electronically readable. So that's like an 840 tag, an electronic ID tag that can be read visually the traditional way or can be run through a scanner to capture that information as those cattle move, whether it be through a sale barn or wherever else. And that's really what we're contemplating here. And it is scary for some folks that are worried this technology could fall into the wrong hands, that the data could be exposed. That's our marching orders for our members, is to make sure we're protecting their data, that they're not having to bear the cost of this, that it's moving at the speed of commerce, making sure that as we build out a nationally significant traceability system, our producers aren't exposed or bearing the cost of that.
You acknowledge that risk, but you feel that the benefits outweigh that risk?
Well, it's always sort of one of those things where you go cautiously into any of this rulemaking with the federal government. You know, we have state animal health officials across the country who have had these tags and have made them available for quite some time. We have a lot of producers around the country who are very comfortable and familiar using them, but we have 44 state affiliates across the country with very different policies on a system like this. Some are robustly in favor of full animal disease traceability, full supply chain, full electronic ID. Others that are far more cautious about that. So our job is to balance those. What our policy says is we would prefer an industry-led solution, but we acknowledge that in this rulemaking, it's important for them to make this switch to electronic ID. And we have this set of tenets that I outlined earlier that is really sort of our guidepost, right? So we'll be engaging in this process aggressively and keeping an eye on the implementation, making sure that we're looking out for how our data is protected, making sure that we're asking for money as we did in the last appropriations bill, $15 million to offset the cost of these tags for producers. So by no means a perfect rulemaking, none of them ever are, but it's a starting point and something that we're going to need to continue to engage in to make sure we get a good product out of this and that our producers are pleased with the result.
Do you feel confident, or as confident as you can be, that your input will be welcomed and actually listened to at USDA?
Now, that is a broader question, Mike. we definitely have been involved in the conversation. You know, there are others that have been very opposed to this, that have sued over the years on proposals like this. This goes back to the Trump administration and before. It spans Republican administrations and Democratic administrations. This is a long-term conversation. Yes, at every point, we're going to make sure we press our case and talk to the agency about what we believe our producers need for this to be successful. And, yeah, keep them honest when we don't think that they're doing that. I think in this case, the Internet has the penchant sometimes to kind of go down a rabbit hole of the worst-case scenario. I know we have producers that are worried this is going to be used to track methane emissions or count cattle for depopulation. And one woman was afraid that they were going to use the ear tags to direct the space lasers to start wildfires in the panhandle of Texas. None of that is true. You know, it is absolutely important that we be careful going into any kind of rulemaking like this with the federal government, but it's important to dispense with the fear and the rumors and really focus on the issues at hand to make sure our producers are getting what they need out of this. And that's where we're going to keep our focus.
We're talking with Ethan Lane, Vice President, Government Affairs for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Well, let's talk about another issue that I know you have great concerns about, and that is the import of Paraguay beef. I guess it's in the House now, right? What do you see happening there?
Well, you know, obviously we're all watching the relative functioning ability of the House of Representatives, given the narrow majority that Speaker Johnson has. You know, the legislative landscape for the rest of this year is fairly quiet. I mean, they've done the big stuff they had to do. They're working on FAA reauthorization right now. They're looking down the pike at what is going to be some kind of a spending process that has to be done by the end of September and a farm bill process that has to be done or extended by the end of September. So, you know, as we look at those items, maybe there will be a vehicle somewhere, hopefully, for them to pass this Congressional Review Act to overturn the government's allowance of Paraguayan beef into the U.S. marketplace. You know, we continue to be concerned that they haven't had any on-site inspections from USDA in 10 years in Paraguay. That's just unacceptable to us and to our producers around the country. It's one of the few issues that unites every cattle organization under the sun in opposing USDA here. And it's why I kind of laughed when you said, is USDA listening? Well, they certainly didn't listen here. They've made it clear they're trying to use this as a tool to incentivize behavior changes in foreign governments and do things like that. That's not acceptable for the cattle industry to be used as a bargaining chip. We're going to continue to press the case up on Capitol Hill, but it's not the only one. You know, the Colombians are trying to get access. They banned U.S. beef, weirdly, in the middle of a dairy high-path avian influenza outbreak. They didn't ban dairy, just beef. So a lot of game playing with some of these countries in South America in particular, and we just want to make sure we're aggressively representing our producers' interests and not just nodding in agreement as they open our borders for beef from countries where we can't be sure that their system in country meets the very high standard that we have here in the United States.
Yeah, and how do they justify that decision? How do they just dismiss these concerns that seem so obvious?
So the briefing they gave up on Capitol Hill a few months ago was that the Paraguay supported Ukraine, and that led to Russia shutting off a lot of their food supplies that were coming from Russia. So we need to help them by giving them markets for their beef. So we need to help them by giving them alternative markets for their products to balance that out. Well, I understand those international goals, but it's unacceptable for us to be used as a bargaining chip in that conversation. But that's been kind of the justification.
And that's what it seems, that for a bigger political purpose here, you're used as a bargaining chip to help achieve some kind of bigger political goal.
Exactly. And that's never the position we want to be in. So whenever you see that being the case, you're going to see us vocally making our opinion and our producers' opinions known there.
Any predictions on getting a farm bill done?
You know, I think that Chairman Thompson and the House Ag Committee has done a phenomenal job listening to farmers and ranchers around the country and building out a farm bill based on that. We saw that draft released last week, the talking points and the highlights. We also saw Senator Stabenow release a 90-page framework, she called it. And she said along with that she didn't have any intent to move that. It was really just kind of for discussion. GT is planning to mark his bill up, and so we're expecting that process later this month. We think it's a really good product. We're really pleased with what we've heard so far. We think he's navigated a really difficult landscape here. I think that the markup in the House will go fine, but that larger landscape on the House floor this year is going to continue to be an incredibly difficult one to pass a $1.5 trillion bipartisan bill.
Yeah, that's going to be a big hurdle to overcome for sure. Ethan, good to talk with you again. Take care.
You too, Mike. Talk to you soon.
Ethan Lane, Vice President, Government Affairs for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. You know, every minute matters on the construction site, and it also matters in the field. After long days in the field, equipment is subject to wear. Synex Premium Lubricants help keep equipment protected, and you can learn more at synex.com. We're going to talk more about the Farm Bill coming up in the second half of our program today. A little bit later, we'll talk with Chuck Connor, President and CEO of the National Council of Farmer Cooperatives. Coming up next, we're going to talk with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. We'll talk about Farm Bill. I want to get his thoughts on the GREET model for sustainable aviation fuel. That's coming up next. Stay with us on AOA.
Join us every Tuesday for Around the Table, brought to you by CHS, where we take a close look at the benefits of cooperative ownership. Every week, we'll host a new guest and discuss how you can get the most from working with your local cooperative. And we'll learn why farmers and ranchers just like you choose cooperatives to help them persevere and prosper. Tune in each Tuesday or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
If you miss an episode of AOA, you can listen back to the show anytime. Just search for Agriculture of America on your podcast platform of choice, and you can hear past episodes of the program on demand.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
You've paid top dollar for that new truck. Protect your investment with a new fabric sprayed-on bedliner from Osseo Plastics and Supply. A fabric bedliner protects your truck from rust and corrosion, and the permanent protective bond protects your truck from scratches. The anti-skid feature keeps your cargo from sliding around. The eye-catching bedliner looks factory installed, conforms to your accessories, and will increase your resale value of your truck. Find out how a fabric sprayed-on bedliner can work for you. Visit osseoplastics.com for more information.
Milk markets were lower with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, June milk down 2 to 1943, July down 16 to 1927, August down 12 to 1922, September milk down 16 to 1923. Live and feeder cattle markets mostly higher as the trade found enough fundamental support to justify the higher trade due to higher midday box beef prices, and also the grain markets moving just a touch lower in some of the contracts. Hog markets mostly higher as well due to higher carcass prices helping to support the markets, along with strength from the cattle market. June live cattle up 65 cents to 177.62. May feeder cattle up 75 cents to 242.15. May hogs up 35 cents to 92.52. Chicago Board of Trade. Corn and soybeans were mixed. Wheat was lower. Now that storm system in portions of the Corn Belt continues to move off to the east, that should allow for planting progress to continue to resume in corn and beans. The weather concerns in South America, though, that are adversely affecting the corn and bean crop, helping to provide some support for the markets. Wheat markets mostly lower. Again, the plains weather should be warm and beginning to dry out a little bit after the recent storm system. New crop corn did close steady at 488.5. New crop beans up 8.25 to 1228. May wheat in Chicago down 7.5 to 624.75. I'm Brian Winnekins.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back. Mike Adams sitting in today and this week for the proud new daddy, as Jesse is off for the week because last night, a little after 10 o'clock, his wife gave birth to John William. They're going to call him Liam, 7 pounds, 12 ounces, mom and baby doing well. And we hope Jesse is as well. So congratulations to them. Great news, and very happy for them. So I'm sitting in this week, and, you know, one of the things that I always enjoyed in doing the show was my monthly visits with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. I always enjoyed hearing his perspective on the issues of the day. And he joins us now. Senator, good to talk with you again.
Mike, it's been a long time. Kind of miss you.
I appreciate that. Well, let's talk about something. And that we waited and waited for the rules to come out for GREET, how biofuels producers could meet these guidelines for what is looks like a huge potential in this sustainable aviation fuel market. The good news is that it is a big potential. But when I saw the requirements of the rules and the guidelines, I had some concerns, and I think you have some concerns with them as well.
Yeah. They just do not understand how farmers market their grain. And also, it's just a typical example of not only Washington not knowing much about farming, but also the fact that these government regulations, with all the low prices that farmers are getting and all the natural disasters that they have to confront, and then you got to put up with regulations that you meet three conditions for marketing your grain to be used for aviation fuel, and it's commingled in the elevator with everybody else. Who's going to certify that you use minimum tillage or no tillage or cover crops and all that sort of stuff? Just a bunch of red tape. And not only that, but the environmentalists want cleaner commercial airplane fuel. And at the same time, they're cutting down on the feedstock that makes that same sustainable aviation fuel, and it just doesn't add up. But it does tell me that people here in Washington, D.C. don't know anything about farming.
It certainly looked to me, my first look at it, I thought, wow, this gets government even more involved in agriculture and in a farmer's business, and you got more strings attached, and whether you agree with the end goal or not, they're pushing in a direction. They're going to try to push a farmer in the direction they want them to go. Is that how you see it?
Yes. And can you imagine that with one of these standards that you, of the three standards you have to meet, it has to meet the way they do it in California. Hmm. Now, what's that got to do with Iowa?
Yeah, we see that a lot, where California somehow becomes the standard bearer for all sorts of things, and they expect the rest of the country to follow suit. So we'll see how this plays out. Your thoughts on the Farm Bill? You stay in touch with your constituents as well or better than I think about anybody I know in politics. So you're out there talking with them all the time. What are you hearing from them about getting a Farm Bill done and what they want in a Farm Bill, and are they optimistic about it?
They are not optimistic about it because I can't give them any optimistic news that it's going to happen. I think you're going to have another one-year extension of the 2018 Farm Bill, so the 2018 five-year Farm Bill becomes a seven-year Farm Bill. You put it over till next year to do a five-year Farm Bill. The House may come out with a House Agriculture Committee come out with a bill. I don't think it's going to affect what we're doing here in the United States Senate for the reason that there can't seem to be an agreement on something that is common sense, that the reference prices in the 2018 Farm Bill don't reflect the increase in inflation of seed fertilizer chemicals, higher interest rates, higher biodiesel costs, and then that needs to be reflected. And it isn't reflected in anything that Stabenow has put out. Now, she put out a 5% increase in reference prices. That doesn't even get corn up to $4 an acre. And, you know, that's not much support for the cost of producing a bushel of corn.
So you see another one-year extension coming?
Not only because it's now May, but there isn't much sessions of Congress because of the two Republican-Democrat conventions and just a shortened calendar that we have because this is a presidential election year.
We're talking with Iowa Senator Charles Grassley. Senator, let's look at that. How much, beyond the farm bill, how much do you see getting done in this Congress the rest of this year, given what you just laid out, that kind of a schedule and those things going on?
Well, this is how I explain it to my county meetings, and I've got two of them next week, a week from yesterday. Here's what people expect. Their senators to work 5 days a week. Now, there's enough work for senators to do 7 days a week if they want to put it in. But you can't solve these country's problems the way Schumer's running the United States Senate. Starting the first vote at 5:30, working Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and heading to the airport at mid-afternoon on Thursdays. You can't solve this country's problems with 2.5-day work week.
And the list of problems gets longer and bigger all the time.
Sure. Just think what we should be doing for agriculture. Straighten out this great formula you and I started this conversation on. Congress could deal with that in a common sense way. The farm bill, trade legislation. So much of agriculture profitability is related to free trade. This administration doesn't do anything on trade. And then you've got additional regulations that are coming out, or the high cost of diesel. We could be drilling more, producing more energy here, breaking up OPEC by exporting more efficient production of fuel and what they do, and things of that nature.
You mentioned trade. I was thinking about this the other day. Of all the administrations I've covered over the years, in my close to 50 years in ag broadcasting, regardless of party, I don't think I've ever seen an administration where so little focus or attention or movement was done on trade. It's just like there's hardly been anything done, it seems like.
They don't even want to do anything on what we call digital trade. Now, it doesn't have a whole lot to do with agriculture, but when there was a meetings of the World Trade Organization or there were negotiations going on in the Indo-Pacific, what they call framework, it all halted when there was possibility of getting an agreement on digital trade, and they stopped it.
I want to ask you about the border situation. I hear people that are for these open borders say, well, we need workers. Well, we've talked many times. Yeah, ag, for instance, has needed workers. But this hardly seems to be the approach where you just open everything wide open and let just everybody come in. That hardly seems to be the answer, and certainly not the answer to that's how we're going to get more workers.
Sure, let people with criminal records come in and murder people in the United States. Let people on the terrorist watch list come in and threaten our national security here within the borders of our country. It's illegal to enter our country without our permission. And I'm a person that wants more legal immigration. We get about 1 million people every year coming here illegally. The more workers we need, if they're needed, there's plenty of legal ways to get them into the country.
Yeah, somehow we've lost the definition or change. Some have just changed it, what is legal, what's illegal, in so many ways, and that's concerning. Let me ask you this before we let you go. Is there any discussion, is there any sense of urgency or concern level in Congress, especially we'll start with your side in the Senate, when it comes to the debt? That doesn't seem to be, used to be we talked a lot about we need to bring the debt down. Now it's hardly mentioned and we just keep adding on to it.
Just this year and next year, there is a policy that 24 spending that we appropriate can't be more than 23. And 25 will have a 1% increase. Now, if you can keep that going for a few more years, you're going to get this debt under control. But, you know, during 21 and 22, we had 10 and 15% increases in expenditures, 15-year average would be about 5 or 6%. You can't keep up even 5 or 6% over the long haul and get this national debt problem under control. So we have to have a president who will do that. And you know, another thing, the budget committee that I'm the ranking Republican on, and if we were in the majority, I might be chairman of that committee or chairman of the Judiciary Committee, but if I was chairman of it, we wouldn't be doing what this chairman's doing, having 16 hearings on climate change and doing nothing about the national debt.
Senator Grassley, always good to talk with you again. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley, stay with us. We're going to talk more about the Farm Bill next on AOA.
Hi, we're Comparing Insurance Agency. Never heard of us? We know. But to help it stick that our local agents are insurance experts, we're going to say local agent three times in the next 5 seconds. Local agent. Local agent. Local agent.
Find us at comparinginsurance.com.
If you've been injured in an accident that wasn't your fault, we have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions. They'll tell you if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-460-3550 to speak with a live person now.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center. May not be available in all states.
Nissan knows it's not about where you go. The real fun comes from getting there. From muddy jungles to snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder lets you chase bigger, better, and more exciting adventures. And with a towing capacity of up to 6,000 pounds, you can bring the fun with you. Find your path with the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. Head to NissanUSA.com for more details. Towing capacity varies by configuration. See Nissan Towing Guide and Owner's Manual for additional information. Always secure cargo.
I can't believe tax season is here already. But look at all this info I have to enter.
Phil's small accounting firm is growing in numbers.
Why didn't I take that typing class in high school?
A data entry specialist could really help him in a crunch.
I got blisters on my fingers.
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go, shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit NoTimeToWait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
This is Around the Table, where we explore the benefits of cooperative ownership. It's Mental Health Awareness Month. Today, Tara Haskins, Total Farmer Health Director and mental health expert with AgriSafe, offers tips to cope with stress on the farm. Tara, tell us about AgriSafe and your work to provide mental health resources for farmers.
We're a national nonprofit in agricultural health and safety, and we provide educational trainings and resources for healthcare professionals and people that work in agriculture. And part of ag health and safety is mental health.
How can farmers prioritize mental health during this busy season?
This is an extremely busy time for our ag producers and farm workers. And I would like to start by saying, first and foremost, you've got to take care of your basic health, making sure or trying to get adequate sleep. If you need help with that, seek some assistance with that with a healthcare provider. Eating well and eating regularly. And then also reaching out and asking for help if there is a stressful situation or you're experiencing a lot of worry or concern about a certain issue. We know that individuals that seek help early have less severe symptoms and concerns later on. And so seeking help early is a basic strategy.
Well, how does the CHS Foundation partner with AgriSafe on mental health programming to help farmers manage stress?
This year, CHS funding has allowed us to expand our programming in mental health. A couple of key webinars that we brought to our audiences were one by Dr. Frank Campbell, who is an expert on suicide postvention. And we also brought representatives from Healing Conversations from the American Foundation of Suicide Prevention. The other two programs that CHS is providing funding for, we are growing our training on conversations on access to lethal means. And then finally, we are trying to address opioid deaths in our agricultural communities.
Thank you for joining us around the table. Learn more about the benefits of cooperative ownership at cooperativeownership.com.
We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7, 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand, and many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-320-1993. That's 800-320-1993. 800-320-1993.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Welcome back. Mike Adams sitting in this week for Jesse Allen. Congratulations to Jesse and his wife. Their new son, John William, arrived last night. They call him Liam. 7 pounds, 12 ounces. Everyone doing well, and congratulations. All right. We're going to talk Farm Bill here in just a minute. Want to, again, thank you for joining us here on AOA. AOA powered by Cenex. As a farmer, unpredictability is inevitable. Protect equipment with Cenex Premium Diesel to keep you in the field. Learn more at your nearest Cenex location or visit Cenex.com for details. When I think Farm Bill and want to get perspective on the Farm Bill, our next guest is someone that always comes right to my mind first, kind of right at the top of the list. That's Chuck Connor, President and CEO of the National Council of Farmer Cooperatives. Chuck, good to talk with you again.
Yeah, Mike, thanks for having me back.
Well, you've been through this this procedure many, many times. How many Farm Bills have you been involved in?
This will be number 9, Mike.
Wow.
And I hope to see it through to the end.
They seem to get harder all the time. Let's talk about this one. We kind of have dueling proposals out there. Are we getting close? Do you see any signs of light at the end of the tunnel? We just heard Senator Grassley say he thinks there's going to be another extension of the current one. What do you see?
Well, we had a lot of activity last week, Mike. As you know, we saw both the House committee chairman and the Senate committee chairman sort of unveil their outlines, if you will, of farm bills, and that's a good thing. I have said now for many months that we need to start this process no matter what, because you can't finish something that never gets started. Having said that, Mike, both proposals last week have, I think, very little chance at getting votes from the other side of the aisle. They're partisan farm bills that don't really move the ball forward, because we know at the end of the day the farm bill, in order to pass the Congress, has to be bipartisan. So while we're started now, as of last week, progress is still very, very tempered.
What's the biggest sticking point?
Well, the biggest sticking point, Mike, is I think we need additional resources in Title I for farm program payments. I think there's a general sense now shared by many that the levels from 2018 just don't reflect the economics on the farm today, and they need to be upgraded. In order to do that, that costs money. In order to get money, you have to go to, you know, sort of where the money is, and for the most part, that is the nutrition title in the farm bill. And many people are saying, and including the chairman and the ranking member on the Senate and House Ag Committee, respectively, that you cannot touch one penny from that nutrition title to go into the Title I farm programs. And so we're sort of at that loggerheads at this point.
Is there any sense of urgency? Do you detect that or not?
More so than there was last year as we were trying to do this, Mike. As you know, commodity prices have softened. Many more farmers actually do see the farm program payments potentially coming into play and being impactful to their 2024 bottom line. And so I do sense more urgency than perhaps there was last year, which was not a lot.
You know, we look back over these farm bills. I mentioned it gets harder all the time. To get bipartisan support for just about anything these days is pretty hard.
It is. It's not harder to, you know, to get a farm bill. It's just harder to get bipartisanship. And again, as I have said, in order to put together enough votes to pass the House and the Senate, you have to, you know, it has to be a bipartisan bill. And today it's just hard to get bipartisan on anything.
And it seems like we look at the percentages and we know the percentage for the actual production part of the farm bill is a small part of it. The nutrition part of it and all the different programs, that's the big part of it. So you're involving more people, you get more people to table, more voices, and where that has its advantages, it also has its disadvantages, right, as far as getting it passed. You got a lot of opinions flying around on this.
It does. You know, it's you know, the change in dynamics of the programs have made it tougher. You know, there's hundreds of programs authorized and funded in the Farm Bill, but one program, just one single program, accounts now for about 85 or 86% of the total cost of the Farm Bill. And of course, that's the Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program. We call it SNAP. And that's where all the money is. And there's been a huge, huge increase in the cost of the SNAP program, going from $800 billion now to, I think, close to $1.2 trillion. So this is not small change by any means, but that sort of leaves all the hundreds of other programs in there fighting over a relatively small percent of the pie, and that's just tough. That's tough.
Okay, what's your prediction? We just heard Senator Grassley say, you know, when you look at the schedule for the congressional schedule for the rest of this year, and you throw in the conventions that are coming up, you got a presidential election, do you think it gets done this year or not?
Well, the time clock is working against us, of course, Mike. You know, we have party conventions and the election and all of that. But I'm still saying I think there's a better than even chance, and I'm not trying to waffle by throwing odds out there, but there's a better than even chance that we will get some kind of a longer-term bill done during the lame duck session of Congress, that period after the presidential election, but before the newly elected president is actually inaugurated in January. And I think there's a really good chance we'll get it done during that period.
We will see. Chuck, good to talk with you. Always good to get your perspective. Thanks a lot.
I appreciate it, Mike. Thank you.
Take care. Chuck Connor, President and CEO of the National Council of Farmer Cooperatives. You know, when using high-quality Synex lubricants, rest assured that you get the most out of your construction equipment. Learn more at Synex.com or visit your local Synex location for more information. So we wait to see if we get the farm bill or not. We'll talk more about it coming up on tomorrow's program. We got a lot more to talk about coming up tomorrow, and we hope you will join us. We'll get more perspective on the farm bill and what people are wanting to see in it. We're also going to be talking about the markets, a lot going on there, and we'll get talk even more about the ear tag rule. We've heard those that are in favor of it. We heard from NCBA today. Others are still very skeptical of it. We'll get more perspective on that coming up tomorrow. So glad you've joined us right here on AOA. I'll be back tomorrow. Hope you will be too. Have a great day, everyone.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney. Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Auto Accident Help Desk.
Oh, O'Reilly.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
If you need bold banners to boost your business, but you're on a budget, think Staples. Posters, flyers, signs, and menus for less? Think Staples. Staples can print anything you need to move your business forward. Now at Staples, save $50 on your print purchase of $150 or more. Same day service available on hundreds of items if you order by noon. And all backed by Staples' Print Perfect guarantee. So it's done right, or it's printed again, free. Staples, your local print and marketing expert.